Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being here with us on The Lowdown. We welcome all listening across these United States of America on the radio.com app. We welcome those listening on TuneIn or on KHDK.com if you're listening on Sports 1140 in Northern California. Fantastic. We're happy to have you as the Kings season tips off tonight. The Golden 1 Center, of course, we will have the Kings and Rockets here for you coming up at 7 o'clock. Kings Live at 6:30. Game night coming up at 5 o'clock.
5:30.
Yeah,
5:30 to 6:30.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's 90 minutes before you got the other 30 minutes. It's, hey, it's my first day, too. Hey. I'm still having a better night than Chris Webber had last night.
Yeah, he didn't quite get the ending of that game down, but
he didn't get
a
lot of
C-Web.
And Chris was one of my favorite announcers. Yeah, he didn't have it, but always already in midseason form is our KHDK NBA insider Sam Amick of USA Today. Sammy, great to have you, my friend. Any word on Chris Paul's availability tonight? No,
Sam.
There he is. Okay.
You guys there?
Yep, yeah. Sam, we're going to have to start all over. We won't start all over. We'll start with the answer to the question of Chris Paul's availability. We didn't have you there when you answered.
I wish I had breaking news. I'm not sure. He did not sound very confident last night. I had asked him if he was going to play, and he said, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But I would handicap no. With all due respect to the local club, if you're going to pick a night to – rest and still maybe pull off a W. The Rockets were able to beat a lot of teams last year without Chris Paul, so maybe this is an old school James Harden night. And more importantly, you know, I had a chance to talk to some of Chris's people after the game, and what struck me is that they said that if last night was a midseason regular season game, that there's no way he would have played. That he pushed himself to play because it was the opener and because the anticipation. And so that kind of leads me to think that tonight he probably rests.
What'd you think of Houston? Obviously a great win coming from 17 down. They did a lot of things with that smaller lineup, looked to be effective. But you saw him firsthand, Sam. What was your impression of what you saw from the Rockets in their debut?
Yeah, I mean, Jay, they're excited about those small lineups that you mentioned. And so it was weird to cover because, you know, when Chris Paul, of all people, is not playing late in the game, quickly the narrative starts growing that, oh, my goodness, this is not what he came to town for. Why is D'Antoni not putting him in? Then you learn that legitimate knee injury, and so then that's not a negative situation, that you just got to get him healthy. The stuff that they are fired up about is P.J. Tucker getting under the Warriors' skin. I saw a tweet from Tim Kawakami of The Athletic that was on point that essentially said that so many teams in the last couple of off seasons have added free agents where they acted like these particular players would be a thorn in the Warriors' side. And if you really broke it down, they weren't, and it just they were kind of ill-advised moves. P.J. Tucker, the point Tim was making is that P.J.'s the kind of guy who could give the Warriors problems. He allows the Rockets to go small. He's a defender. He can obviously give you some offense. He scores 20-plus points, and he's just a heck of a competitor. And that edge and that grit, with guys like that, guys like Luke Mbamute, you know, former King, I think that's what's got the Rockets excited, because they know that in some form or fashion, the Harden-Chris Paul thing, well, who knows how good it can be. But, I mean, when you got two players who are that talented, that's going to be good in some form. It's the role players and the complementary stuff that I think has them pretty fired up.
Sam, was this something Chris Paul was dealing with, like, during the preseason and during training camp?
Yeah, and it's weird because I tried to look up some stuff on it, and it hadn't really been written about. So, like, they played Memphis, and he collided with Mario Chalmers. And sorry, guys, I'm missing my exit and now making an illegal left turn, just so you know. collided with Mario Chalmers, and it was bugging him from there. And the swelling had gotten bad. And again, the sense that I was given is that, you know, he probably wouldn't have played if it was later in the year. So it's something that, you know, it's not a serious injury, but I think he could use some time on the shelf.
As far as kind of the other pieces, the mainstays of Houston last night too, Gordon was great. He was getting a bunch of and ones. He was getting to the basket. Ryan Anderson did just enough, and then James Harden. How much of a threat then, kind of longer term, bigger picture, do you think ultimately this Rockets team can kind of be in this?
I mean, I'm not ready to – it's funny because I'm not ready to say they're a real threat just yet. And but at the same time, this is going to sound kind of corny. I love the human aspect of covering sports because even the guys who you cover, they get caught up in it. So, like, if you were around the Rockets last night, like, man, they're all in. They're buying in. And they, you know, like James Harden said, we got a chance. And he was talking big picture. Like, we got a chance to shock the world, beat the Warriors. And they really believe it. If you're the Warriors, it's not that hard to rationalize this game at all. And the way, you know, if they didn't worry about the backlash because they'd sound like crybabies, you know, I think what they would tell you is, listen, we spent 7 days in China with very little practice time. They were all swamped. Steph Curry had told me the other day that I think last Sunday to Tuesday, he called it the three worst practice days he can ever remember with the Warriors. And so that's not a positive thing. You've got Draymond Green, you know, arguably, if you just want to talk about a player's value, you know, Draymond is on that short list across the entire NBA. And because of his knee strain, you know, he sits the entire fourth quarter. That's huge. No shock that the Rockets scored 34 points in that fourth. And on top of that, Andre Iguodala was out with the back injury. You know, those are big-time players and guys that if they're there, the Rockets are in trouble. And not only that, I mean, how many times – Nick Young is a heck of a scorer, but I don't think he's going to be averaging 23 points a night. So it's not hard for me, for the Warriors, to kind of get past this one and keep moving.
Sam, was Draymond's thing anything serious or just kind of just sat the rest of the game?
I don't know yet. I saw that that Chris Haynes of ESPN had said they were having an MRI today. Based on the eyeball test last night, there was not really a lot of alarms sounded in terms of just how he looked leaving the building. It was some hobbling, but nothing too bad. And, you know, for whatever, I'm not sure what it means, but he told multiple people that he was going to be fine. Seemed like he was downplaying it somewhat. But yeah, I think it's like you talk about the Chris Paul knee injury and the fact that you got to think about the marathon. And so who knows? Maybe if Draymond wakes up today and the MRI shows something that maybe it's good for him to go on the shelf for a little bit, that wouldn't shock me because, you know, that the Warriors, after this three-year run where they've learned, you know, in a historical kind of way, kind of how you got to think about June, you know, they got to make those moves accordingly now.
Hey, Jay Ross, we spent so much time talking about Gordon Hayward's injury and Chris Paul's knee that we really didn't talk much about Draymond and him not playing there in that fourth quarter. Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider, with us here on the Lowdown. Mike D'Antoni played eight guys last night. Is that the norm, or will that be kind of the big game rotation?
That's a good question. I mean, it might be the norm. He did that in the playoffs. But again, those are obviously huge games, and so that would fit into the big game formula. Mike's always kind of struggled with trust with his guys, and he wouldn't agree with that. He wouldn't say, I don't struggle with trust. I just, you know, I want a tight rotation. I want my guys. So it's funny because you got guys like Tom Thibodeau, who we always talk about being hard driving and maybe pushing players too hard. Mike D'Antoni is the opposite. He's a player's coach. You know, he's the kind of guy that clicks with players in every single way. But inevitably, when you play that short of a rotation, the same concerns end up popping up. And so going forward, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the roster in front of me. I'm trying to think, you know, who that ninth guy is who maybe gets a little bit more burn. But, you know, that has been Mike's way. And certainly, though, I think tonight against the Kings, you know, regardless of the Chris situation, maybe you glean a little bit more with what he's going to do with his rotations because, you know, going into that game, knowing that if they got a W against the Warriors, that would get them off on a great start, that's the kind of thing that could compel you to go short.
Yeah, I guess the one guy they were mentioning last night, Sam, that didn't play that normally would be Nene. And he just kind of they're going to pick their spots with him. But, you know, one other thing from last night, you were there. We saw glimpses of it on television was the ring ceremony. I mean, that's a night to honor a great season from a year ago. How did that play there? I mean, we didn't get to see everything, but we saw a lot of it. But I know that's a lot of fanfare. How was that?
It was fine. You know what I mean? Like I enjoy seeing guys just enjoy, it sounds again kind of corny, but enjoy their lives. Like these guys work hard, they got a ring, and yes, they make a ton of money, but that kind of a moment reminds you that it doesn't change the way, you know, they're wired just like the rest of us. So when Kevin Durant's got that big smile on his face, and the one that cracked me up, and I wish I would have seen it. I just saw a tweet about it, but apparently JaVale McGee got his ring, and the first thing he did is wave it in Nick Young's face, you know, like basically just na-na-na-na-na, I got one of these, you don't. So, you know, there's a sense of satisfaction, sense of accomplishment. The tricky thing, though, and I got to imagine somebody has been tracking this, like the narrative that you generally hear is that those nights are pretty bad for the defending champions, that their records are not very good. And, you know, and that would make some sense because from a psyche, I mean, listen, the Warriors were up big the whole game. You can't really argue that they had the wrong mentality. But regardless, like you spend a good amount of time before the game reflecting and kind of, you know, kind of feeling yourself a little bit. And then the other team is sitting back in the locker room, just kind of biding their time and, you know, essentially sitting there going, can we play ball here? Like, let's get to work. And so it's a weird dynamic. Like the Rockets players admitted afterwards that, like I talked to Ryan Anderson and he was saying, I said, is it more fun when you win a game like that, you know, on a ring night and you kind of spoil the night? And he got this like 12-year-old little boy grin on his face. He was just like, oh yeah, 100%. You know, so they enjoyed it, and they end up, because of the replay at the end of the game, you know, they end up dancing on that same floor where the Warriors got their rings. But if you take it back to like the whole marathon part of the discussion, you know, the Warriors, they're not sweating it. They got their rings last night. They know there's 82 of these things, and that we got a long ways to go.
Sam, you have well-documented great relationships with the teams in Houston, Golden State, obviously here in Sacramento also. What other teams are you looking forward to covering this season as the bulk of teams will play their first game tonight?
So the gruff hoarseness of my somewhat fatigued voice is because I got up early to head down to L.A. I'm going to go to the Lakers-Clippers opener tomorrow. Sadly, I'm not going to be with you guys in Sacramento, and I'll be up there soon. But the Lakers situation, you know, we kind of decided was going to be priority number two, you know, after the Warriors ring night. And the neat thing from a coverage standpoint is that, I mean, like a lot of people, listen, I was kind of not Lonzo balled out, but probably LeVar balled out a while ago. And that whole storyline has been so just so much that it's kind of neat that the Lakers have other stuff going on. You know, Kyle Kuzma has been a nice surprise in the preseason. You've got the bigger context and the grander picture of the Lakers trying to get, you know, their franchise back on track and certainly going for the big fish next summer, trying to get LeBron James and whoever else might want to come their way. So I'll be in LA for a couple of days checking those guys out. And, you know, the convenient part is they've got the Clippers tomorrow, and, you know, it doesn't move the needle as much as the Lakers, but it's still very interesting when you're talking about them turning over a new page after Chris leaves and you know, get Danilo Gallinari and some other pieces in there. Pat Beverly's a fantastic player. Teodosic is so much fun to watch. I saw him in the Olympics, and so they've got a few things going for him too. So some Clipper stuff too.
Yeah, I think watching that point, I'm glad you brought up Teodosic. He's entertaining. I like the way
he
plays. You should have fun with that game between all the point guards in that one.
For sure, for sure. And there's such a different style on the Clippers between Pat Beverly and Milos, which I think could be good. I'm sure Pat, you know, I'm curious what they wind up doing with their starting spot there, because Milos is certainly not the defender, or even half a defender, that Pat Beverly is. But, you know, what he does on offense and the way he finds people. I know the Jason Williams comparison is a little too easy, and he's not as flashy, but he is pretty flashy. And I always think back during the Olympics, you know, Mark Stein, previously of ESPN, now with the New York Times, has been covering this game a long, long time. And so every time I see Teodosic, I remember how in the Olympics, like Mark was like a big fanboy for Teodosic. He just loved him. Like every time, and I say that with regard, like, He would stop everything he was doing to watch Teodosic and would rave about him. That's kind of when I started paying attention to him. And it's a nice pickup by the Clippers and a guy that the mainstream audience probably doesn't know yet.
Sam Amick, RKHDK NBA insider, with us here on the Lowdown. I don't think we've spoken to you since this move happened. It happened so late in the so-called offseason, which I'm sure for you felt like there really wasn't one. Carmelo to Oklahoma City. Is that intriguing for you?
For sure. For sure. In fact, Damian, you know the Paul George stuff I had when I was out there where I sat down with Paul?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys can relate. Like, it's always fun in this job when you just fall into something. So I had the Paul George interview set up. A little did I know that the day that we were scheduled to sit down at his house that they were going to get Carmelo Anthony. And so it was a funny experience where, like, the morning of the interview, admittedly, I kept waiting for the Thunder's PR department to call me up and say, hey, we're going to have to reschedule, because I thought it would just be a little bit too much. And to their credit, they held the interview, and I got a fresh perspective from Paul on Melo coming to town. And what it reminded me of is that from Paul to Russell Westbrook to guys across the NBA, like, for all the haters out there, and I hate that word, but it's like folks who kill Melo's game, and certainly there's a lot to kill on the defensive end, and his history as a ball stopper, like, stars and players in the NBA hold him really, in such high regard that's the thing that I got reminded of with the whole OKC situation. Paul George is all in with Melo. Russ is the same way. And I think it really might work. My two cents is this, like, Melo is at that stage of life. Like, he better only focus on winning, and that's it. And then we also have been talking for so many years about, what if he became Olympic Melo, that guy who's comfortable being a third option on an NBA team. And that's what he's going to be here. And the scouts that I've talked to sit there and say, listen, kill Melo all you want as a number one franchise centerpiece, because he can't be that guy anymore. But if this is a different ball of wax. You put him in this role, that could be extremely dangerous, single coverage, night in, night out, things like that. And then there's such a good defensive team with guys like Steven Adams and Andre Robertson and some of the other guys they have. I think that's going to work. I think OKC could be pretty dangerous.
I'm going to ask Sam, thinking I probably do know the answer, but I know a lot of people last night after the Gordon Hayward injury went straight to Paul George's Twitter account. Did you have a chance to exchange any messages with him last night after the Gordon Hayward injury?
No, I didn't, although I did see that he commented on it today. I know he reached out to Gordon, and, I think the quote that I saw was that he said it's going to be part of his story forever. And that part is very, very true. Like, even if you look at the interview I did with Paul, we talked for like an hour, and by the time we got to the end of it, you just cannot talk to Paul George in a big picture kind of way, no matter how old he gets, without mentioning the injury that he went through and the perspective that comes from it and how it changes him as a person. And that's the stuff that Gordon is going to go through now. That's the stuff that I just had a nice chat with Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM who used to represent why am I drawing a blank there? But regardless, Rob and I were talking – I'm sorry, who used to have Kobe. And you guys might have
seen – Oh, that guy. That's right. I remember that guy.
The sleep deprivation is kicking in. I apologize. So the point is this. Rob had Kobe, and Kobe put up an Instagram post today that was pretty deep, breaking down for Gordon – like, essentially, here's what you're going to go through. Here's what you should focus on. Inspirational stuff. Pretty neat of Kobe to take the time to do that. And, and Paul is right, and Kobe is right. Like, Gordon Hayward now is going to have to, celebrate the small victories, the little things you can do physically, that you couldn't do yesterday, and then find your way back on the court. And Kobe's point also was that you're going to find yourself working harder than you ever have before. You thought you worked. Once you have it taken away from you, it's going to change the way you're wired. So eventually, there's going to be some silver lining to Gordon's story, but obviously it's just a huge game changer for this season.
Yeah, and I don't know how far Paul George got into it with you, Sam, about that when you kind of referenced to him back then, but everything I've always seen when this – probably some of the – besides the physical nature of coming back and working hard like you address, just dealing with the separation from the team, you just feel like such an outsider. And I think that's got to be one of the more challenging elements that I don't even think everybody completely understands.
Well, Jay, to your point, if you look at LeBron James's Instagram stories today, he has a video of former King Isaiah Thomas – and it's like a picture from probably 30 feet away. And the caption said something like, you know, IT working in the dark or something like that. And he was kind of capturing what you're talking about. There was a literal physical distance between LeBron and Isaiah Thomas, who's coming back from that hip injury. And I kind of thought it was cool because it's LeBron's essentially kind of sharing with the world that just because you don't see him, don't think he's not working his tail off. But that is, it's, I mean, I don't know what a good parallel would be to our jobs, but it's like you don't have a payoff for your work day in, day out. You don't get to go into the game and drop 25 points and feel good about that night's work. You just, you know, your victories and your successes are very, very different. And I'm sure mentally that's something that takes a while to get used to.
Well, Sammy, happy new year. Enjoy Los Angeles. Enjoy the Ball family. And we'll do it. We'll do it again next week.
Gentlemen, sounds great. Good to be back with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider. Check him out on USA Today. I haven't checked. I don't think the A to Z podcast is back up and running just yet, but I'm sure with the season here now, it will be. I love that he mentioned Kobe there in the Instagram post that he put up for Gordon Hayward. I feel like we've gotten this, like, I hope Doug Christie isn't listening right now, but I feel like we've gotten this look into Kobe Bryant since he's retired where, mm-hmm. you know, he did the most motivational thing, which kind of had to do with a shoe release. So I don't want to read too much into that. But the thing that about Giannis Antetokounmpo challenging him to go win the MVP, challenging other guys, you know, to do a number of other things. And now, you know, being, you know, one of the first marquee players out there to put something out for Gordon Hayward after that injury, I think just lets us into a mind that, you know, Kobe was, he was very direct with the media, but he was closed off to a certain degree for the bulk of his career. I think that changed the last couple of years when he started dealing with his own injuries and we started getting a glimpse into the things that he was doing or the things that we believed he would be doing post-retirement. And I just, when I saw that post, I was like, man, this guy thinks differently than so many others do.
I wonder if it also reads differently now, because if you're hearing that every day and you're around Kobe, because people thought he was a difficult teammate, and I believe he was, but he had a different drive than more. All the athletes have a drive, but his was at a level that not many people have. And I think maybe those messages play differently when, I mean, he's not, for lack of a better term, barking at a guy. Now he's like cheering on. Yeah. He's like a cheerleader now that's done it, that's been there, that knows what he's talking about, than someone else that you still welcome all the well wishes and the thoughts and the prayer. And everybody that, nobody's happy for Gordon Hayward that he got hurt. It's just they would like, you feel for him, you want a speedy recovery, but he's lived it in a way that he can explain it. And then it sounds like he's rooting for him and I'll help you and I can tell you how, mm-hmm. as opposed to, if that's the teammate, you got to cut here. You got the same goal. He's trying to help you, but it I think it plays differently.
He does it in a more demonstrative manner.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about that all the time, or we have talked about that all the time, is not everybody can, not everybody reacts the same to the same type of motivation.
Correct.
Smush Parker couldn't handle teammate Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Right? Some people
and
can.
And Kobe though. Couldn't understand him either.
Pau Gasol could.
Right.
Pau Gasol dealt with that. You know, we told the story of Kobe hanging his gold medal in Pau Gasol's locker, saying, you know, we lost the NBA Finals. You lost the gold medal.
Yeah.
Now what are we going to do?
Right.
And some people would be like, dude.
Get this guy out of here.
F you. Like,
yeah, I'm
no.
done with him.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Pau didn't. Smush Parker couldn't handle it. You know, and I know Smush Parker and Pau Gasol are two totally different type of players, but I think you get the direction that I'm going with that.
Yeah, and if we look at the most famous feud with those, with him and Shaq, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they were successful, but Kobe thought he should work harder. Look where they are now. It does legitimately seem like they're okay, and I don't know that either guy is a bad person. I think they can both be maybe difficult teammates, and maybe just those two personalities, they didn't quite jive as basketball players, as teammates. Off the court, honestly, every time I hear Kobe, I go, he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like
sure.
and you don't, I'm just like, we always hear Tim Duncan is funny. He is.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it more from Kobe and on talk shows and different things. He'll tell a good story and relate to, and you're like, okay. And he's really smart, but just, I think he's probably easier as a cheerleader or a friend more so than a teammate.
I think a great what if story is, what if Kobe had gotten through to Shaq? Because
yeah.
I still think Shaq is an incredible what if story for a guy who was dominant as he was with four titles.
Yeah. We wanted more. He should have more.
He could have been more, but he felt he didn't take care of himself the way that Kobe did. And I think Kobe, because they were both stars of the same level, resented that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm working 21 hours a day, and you're working three.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch how his body fell apart late in his career, significantly quicker than Kobe did. I still think Shaq, despite all of his accomplishments, being one of the greats of all time, is still an incredible what-if story. The A to Z podcast is back up. In fact, the first full-length episode, they have some preseason stuff from their trip to China that did go up. But the first full episode with Sam and Jeff did go up last night after the opener.
Nice.
So if you don't subscribe to the A to Z podcast, make sure you subscribe to that one along with the Lowdown and the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll take a look at everything going on, not just for the Sacramento Kings opening night, but across the league next here on Sports 1140. 5:30 live from the Golden One Center, followed by Kings Live, starring your very own Jason H.W. Ross. That's at 6:30. And then coverage of the Rockets and Kings here to open up the 2017-18 season at the Golden One Center begins with the G-Man in his 50th year of calling Kings, give or take.
Yeah, give or take.
His 50th year of calling Kings basketball. He goes back to the Kansas City days, I think. Rochester.
Sure, why not?
He's a Rochester Royal at Gary Gerald was. That's coming up at 7 o'clock, and now fans are extremely excited, as you should be. It's a fantastic day, and it's a great team to get to watch, not just the curiosity surrounding the Sacramento Kings, but even it looks like, or excuse me, I should say it sounds like, without Chris Paul tonight, the Houston Rockets are going to be a lot of fun to watch as well. Last night is any indication, Jason.
Yeah, and then, to see what the Kings look like, what group will they start? I know this may not be their everyday rotation if, in fact, Bogdanovich, we do believe, is out for sure, and then if Randolph is out. But the preseason is just that, right? We don't what combinations Coach Ager said from a while ago. Yeah, I know my lineup. I know what I want to do. All right. Well, let's see it. Let's see what it looks like.
He said that after like the first, was it the start of the second preseason game? I think that you had told us about that.
Yeah. So, which is fine. I mean, it's more important for him to know than us to wonder and speculate. And that, let's see what it looks like. How much will he play De'Aaron Fox with George Hill? And how does Mason get in there? What was Willie do? And Scott, there's a lot of things to look forward to tonight.
Including Lil Jon at halftime.
Yes.
I'm anxious to see if Jerry Reynolds has ever turned down for what?
Good question.
Will you turn down for what?
Yes.
You absolutely will.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. Facebook Live. We are going to Facebook Live.
Push Facebook.
Jason Ross turning down for what? Lil Jon, if you didn't know, was performing at halftime of the Kings game. The Cavs, they had Bell Biv DeVoe. We got Lil Jon.
That's right.
Lil Jon's actually doing it for a good reason, so that'll be fun. There's a number of other games happening tonight. You mentioned Z-Bo, by the way. That's listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. Bogdan's out for sure. Chris Paul, no word on him. I assume we'll know Z-Bo and Chris Paul are for their respective teams 90 minutes before tip.
Probably closer than that. Yeah, coaches always try to keep that secretive, but yeah.
A number of other marquee games. One of them you could actually catch a good chunk of before even heading out to the Golden One Center, unless you're going out there to party to pregame, or unless you're going out to a pregame party. There's a lot of entertaining games tonight.
Yeah, 10 others, 22 teams in all tonight playing,
including the Celtics again.
Yeah,
which I think is just awful coming off of the night that they had. But they're opening up at home. Philly and Washington tonight in the nation's capital on ESPN. TV, ESPN TV.
Yeah, I mean, I'm higher on the Wizards than I am on Philadelphia, but Philadelphia is already that team that, okay, look at what that young core could possibly be. Embiid, of course, Fultz, and then a lot of people are really excited about Simmons. You add Redick, I mean, there's some things there. That team is going to be interesting, relevant, compelling, not ready to be a threat, but, hey, first game, and anytime Embiid's out there, you feel like they're super dangerous.
Joel Embiid's already mad.
Yeah.
He is not pleased about his minutes restriction.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about these minutes restrictions.
I don't
either. If he's good to go, let him play.
Right.
If he's not, don't let him play.
Right.
Like, which I don't believe the more he plays in an 82-game season in terms of minutes, the more likely he is to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. If he's bound to get hurt, he's going to get hurt no matter what.
Yeah.
Let him play. Granted, what is his minute restriction?
I'm not sure, because the other day, remember, it was the preseason game. I'm like, what is it? What kind of production will he give you in the 15 minutes and he had like 22 and 7.
I'm like, right,
okay, that's a full, that's a regular rotation's worth. But I don't know what the number is that they're setting him at.
If they're setting him at like 15 or 20 minutes, I would absolutely be frustrated if I was him. And I'd probably be frustrated if I was a Philadelphia 76ers fan also.
Yeah.
But, again, I think it's worth, if he's healthy, let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Let him play. Get a feel for what these guys are going to do together. You mentioned a lot of people are really high on Ben Simmons. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think when a kid can come in, and I'm sorry, I hate to use that term. I hate when I love when a rookie can come in and is sort of, whether inadvertently or otherwise, redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
He's still around the team. Now,
right.
This is technically his rookie year, and I do believe that Ben Simmons is going to be the rookie of the year. But he's been around a professional organization with professional strength and conditioning coaches and professional trainers for a whole season now. I think he comes in significantly better than a Markel Fultz or Alonzo Ball or a Jaylen Brown, who was pretty damn good last night, or any other, you know, rookie, or De'Aaron Fox, any other rookie that you want to put on that pedestal. I think Ben Simmons has an edge on them because he's been around a pro team,
yeah,
you know, for
just
a year
even
now.
Even the one season does help. Yeah,
absolutely. And this team is, man, it, you know, they've told us the process is over.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they keep telling us to trust it. Well, this is all part of it, and I'm anxious to watch them. The Wizards, you know, you mentioned that you're higher on the mm-hmm. Wizards than the 76ers, as you should be, as the same team is returning. I think I just read our friend Candace Buckner, who joined us last year. I'm sure we'll have her on this year. We have a lot of Wizards insiders this year.
Yeah.
Otto Porter Jr. is guarding Ben Simmons.
Mm. Max contract, that's what they got him for.
Early indications.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by that matchup there. Here's another one, and I think you're going to like this one a lot. The Timberwolves and the Spurs
mm-hmm.
in San Antonio tonight. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard being out is official. Pop said it on Friday.
I think he is, right?
It's official, okay, because Pop said Friday he didn't think Kawhi was going to play in the opener. I hadn't really monitored that too much from since then. We'll talk about that in just a second. Want to make sure we get Marty from Philly in here, who's really anxious to talk about his 76ers. Marty, what's happening, baby?
Oh, my God, I'm shaking. My legs and my feet have been twitching and shaking all day. I'm just so excited for tonight.
Nice.
Hey, let me ask you something. What do you think the reality is about Embiid's minutes restriction? Do you think the situation is just going to kind of dictate that?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know we go to this example a lot. The Nationals had an innings restriction on Steven Strasburg. They made the playoffs. They refused to deviate from that innings restriction. I'm not sure what they're going to do here. You know, there's a text here, Marty, top of the text line. It's probably to reduce wear and tear, not necessarily avoid injury.
Then if it's there, then you use it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if someone set a bar a number of minutes, then you have to live by it. But it's just the question is, why is there the bar of number of minutes there?
So what do you do when it's like 90-90, there's 5 minutes left, and you know that place is going to be full of Sixers fans tonight, and it's 90-90, and Embiid's on the bench, you know, and he just stands up and looks over at Brett Brown with a big smile. I mean, I just think that's going to kind of dictate how things are going to go.
It could. You know, you want, and I kind of get where you're going here, Marty. The longer the season goes on, does the restrictions come off a little bit? Do you start to take the reins off when you get into, you know, close games, potentially where they're battling for an 8th seed or perhaps a 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, who knows, with this team? But, yeah, I get where you're going, and I don't have an answer. I really don't.
All right, so let me ask you a totally unrelated question. You know, I was really high on Jordan Bell. I was really hoping the Kings were going to get him. And you could see last night he was such a beneficiary, obviously, of just some of the best passing in the NBA. I was really surprised by the amount of minutes that he had last night. And in fact, Bell was in with Draymond, and he was in with Kevin Durant at the same time. That's a pretty big lineup. So when they talk about Willie, you know, being kind of a garbage guy around the basket, I mean, that's Jordan Bell. So am I the only one in the world that thinks Jordan Bell is going to just be off and running here in the beginning? I mean, I see a lot of slop passes going his way.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think anybody who plays with anybody of the core of the Warriors is going to look good. I think we look at Ian Clark last year, McCaw, McGee. No matter who you put with two or three of those stars, they're going to look good. And Bell can play. I don't want to diminish him.
Yeah.
But anyone else that joins that group, Swaggy P, perfect example. I think he's
MVP.
He's a scorer. He's okay. But last night, all open shots, and he made them.
And, you know, it's funny, there were like three or four highlights where Bell gave up a layup, and yet he was guarding somebody from like 15, 16, 17 feet out. They didn't get by him very easily. He whipped them all the way to the rim, and yet the ball, you know, still went in. So I'm really high on Jordan Bell.
Yeah. Marty, have fun tonight, my man.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, you bet.
But if it, on his minute thing, if that's the case, and it's 20, let's say it's 20 for Embiid, and there's 5 minutes left and it's 90-90 like he's talking about, you make sure you have 5 minutes left for Embiid.
Completely agree.
I mean, it's really tough to manage that, but you have to.
You got to have him in.
He's got
to
be a closer.
Yeah. Let him earn the $150 million you're giving him.
Absolutely.
We'll wrap up Kings Rockets tonight. We'll wrap up. We also got a really cool story about Chris Long. We'll have that for you next here on Sports 1140. Hey, your boy Hugh Jackson said regarding starting DeShone Kizer this week as opposed to last week. I think sometimes it's what it takes. Sometimes people think it takes 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I'm not of that school of thought. He just needed a week to rejuvenate.
Okay.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk had a different theory, which I didn't even think about, and it makes complete sense. You remember who the Browns played last week?
Yeah.
Houston? The DeShone that they didn't take?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to march the DeShone that you did take out there in front of the one that you didn't take.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Similar to your boy Lonzo Ball mysteriously coming up with an ankle injury every single time he's supposed to play De'Aaron Fox. You got to believe there's something to some of this stuff. Hey, before we wrap things up with the Kings and the Rockets tonight at the Golden 1 Center, I want to make sure we fit this happy story in here. Chris Long of the Philadelphia Eagles is donating the rest of this year's salary to increase educational equality. There's actually a great program. If you recall Chris Long's story, he's from Charlottesville, and so he had strong opinions to what went on in Charlottesville over the summer. And he's donated a number of paychecks already this year. He's committed to donating the rest of them to something called the Pledge 10 for Tomorrow campaign. He says, I think we can all agree that equality in education can help affect change that we all want to see in this country. Just for point of reference, because people like this stuff, Chris Long signed a two-year deal for $4.5 million with the Eagles, including a $500,000 signing bonus and $1.5 guaranteed. His base salary this year is $1 million.
Okay. Good for him.
Good job, Chris Long.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great stuff right
yes.
there. Final thoughts. Did we mention, I think we mentioned this earlier, Dallas is going to host the 2018 NFL draft. I was looking at, it's so funny to look back at where the draft was held, and you go back, you know, to the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, and you see, you know, Marriott Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, hotels, and then suddenly it starts to change, and you see, you know, Radio City Music Hall for 12 years. And then you, and when it was in Philadelphia, it's just the name of a street because it was just outside. They just blocked off, you know, downtown Philadelphia and had this draft there. And what they're doing in Dallas is they are opening the doors so it's like a whole encompassing experience to where, you know, they'll have the stage inside, they'll use all of the seats and all of that stuff, but they'll have a big festival outside. So it's just there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be able to take part in this because it's the NFL draft. Why wouldn't you want
to? It's a big deal to watch, stand there and watch people speculate on what those guys will do.
You can't even hear the guys speculate. Right. Like, it's so strange.
Yeah.
The NFL draft is one of the strangest phenomenons, I think, in all of the world.
I agree.
In all of the sports yes. world, I think it's one of the strangest. Ezekiel Elliott got another stay of execution. He's going to play in Santa Clara this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. He's also going to play against Washington. His next court hearing, well, there will inevitably be another appeal to it, isn't until October 30th. So, if you're a fantasy football owner, nope. Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert, will be with us tomorrow at 12. You can go ahead and run with Zeke. You got two more weeks to play him. We talked a great deal about
at
Gordon.
Least.
Yeah, at least, right. I said this at the beginning. I think he's going to play all year.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think we were going to go injunction after injunction, overrule after overrule, postponement after postponement. I thought it would just kind of be one ruling, one temporary restraining order, one more file, and that would stretch out the 16, 17 weeks or whatever it is.
Right.
I didn't think we were going to be doing this on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And it certainly appears we are.
And hopefully we aren't, though, much further. As far as, like, maybe there's clarity, like, this is when the everything will be looked at is this date instead of week by week by week getting information on this.
Cavs beat the Celtics in a fantastic open to the season. Obviously, that was marred by Gordon Hayward's just horrific ankle slash leg injury. Really good play, though, out of Kyrie, Jaylen Brown. This is a news flash. This is a hot take for the rest of the season, too. Don't tell your boy Skip Bayless. LeBron James still really, really good at playing basketball. Rockets still won from the Golden State Warriors, and they're coming out tonight. Before we touch on that game, you want to tell everyone the score of the baseball game?
Oh, sure. Yankees have a 1-0 lead.
Are you going to be able to focus for the next few hours, or are we just going to lock you in a room, let you watch baseball, and then call you out when the Kings game, when it's time for your Kings duties?
That sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Rockets and Kings tonight. Final thoughts on that?
By the way, word is official. Zach Randolph is out.
Okay,
so we thought so, but it's official. He is out.
So Bogdanovich definitely out.
Yeah.
Zach Randolph definitely out.
We don't know still at this point, like we talked about Chris Paul. So that's obviously a huge factor for them. And James Harden will run point if not.
It's worth noting, talking to Sam Amick earlier this hour, it really sounded like Chris Paul wasn't playing tonight.
Yeah, if he had a preseason kind of existing injury, kind of re-aggravated or just didn't feel better yesterday, why? I mean, really, why would you play him tonight? There's really no need.
Right.
Not meaning that, they could just beat the King. Not even that. Why is he playing? If there's any kind of concern, you're worrying. This team is worrying about trying to get to May and June. So a game in October against the Kings isn't that critical to them.
Absolutely. And what do you think about final thoughts on this game? I know you covered it on the podcast.
Yeah.
We've talked a great deal about it today. You're really high on the Rockets. Kings, young group. I think we're going to get some scoring. You noted they had some trouble. Anyone who watched the available games in preseason, with the exception of that first one that was at the Golden 1 Center, they did have a lot of trouble scoring. But these guys are going to be – these guys, meaning the Houston Rockets, they're going to be running up and down the court, not using a lot of that shot clock tonight.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a fantastic vibe, a great energy. I think they'll be – that is going to do wonders for the Kings. But ultimately, it's just too much firepower, too many threes, even without Chris Paul. James Harden is still playing at a top five level, obviously, and – I was impressed with Gordon, the way Tucker, Bamute, Ryan Anderson, he always comes into this building and shoots the ball pretty well. Just think too much firepower. I think it's a tough ask to open, but I think they'll be up for the challenge. I think they'll compete, and I think they'll be right in this game, but I think the Rockets will prevail.
Any particular player for the Sacramento Kings that you're looking forward to watching the most?
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, just the speed, because we know it. We've seen it. We all are impressed by it, but then when you go against another team, when to see, like, wow, that guy had trouble staying in front of him. Or this guy, just nightly basis watching him. And his first offering that he gave us, the first preseason game against the Spurs here, he was spectacular. And so you know what he's capable of. So, yeah, for me, it's watching De'Aaron Fox.
If this is your first opportunity, if you're going to the Golden 1 Center tonight, that preseason game wasn't they weren't hanging from the rafters, as no. Gorilla Monsoon would say. But I expect tonight they will be.
Yeah.
It'll be packed tonight. And if this is your first opportunity to watch De'Aaron Fox play in person, you know, you've heard us, you've heard analysts, you've heard insiders, you've heard people talk about his speed. His speed is something else to see in person.
It's obvious. Like, sometimes you go, well, that guy's big, or that it sticks out.
You hear it in football, and maybe we're going to have to teach Jerry Reynolds this phrase, or maybe he uses it. I would be shocked if he did, but you hear it in football all the time, where someone says, "Adrian Peterson just hit the B button," meaning he accelerated past everybody. De'Aaron Fox it looks like everyone stops moving except him, and it's really extraordinary, and it's incredibly noticeable. He just has another gear that a lot of basketball players don't have.
Yeah, it's a gift. I mean, it really is. Not everybody. I mean, everybody out there is doing their best, but it's just, you're right, it's another gear.
And there's a few games where that could be very, very valuable, and this is one of them. Because if they try to match his speed, and if the Kings follow what you just said and they're in this game, fourth quarter, they're going to be tired. One, they played last night.
Yeah.
Two, De'Aaron Fox is running circles around him.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Me too. We'll cover the entire thing tomorrow. As I mentioned, Nate Lundy will be with us at 2. And, oh, by the way, Raider fans, is a pretty big football game tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
We got you covered on all aspects starting tomorrow at noon. Thank you so much for being with us. Enjoy your Kings.